I told him to bring the thunder. Oh. Hey, just want to say before we get started that in my mind, right, there is no part of this morning that is more important than another. Can I say that? There is no part of this morning that is more important than another. When you're interacting with somebody sitting next to you, that is just as important as the words that are coming out of my mouth. Will you hear me? There is nothing special about this corpse but Jesus. And I want to flesh that out with some humility this morning. You ever made a mistake? No, never. Never made a mistake in your life. I made one yesterday. And so we're going to have some humor at my expense. You have to understand that there is a title in front of my name that is pastor that I have worked hard after. But what is good about me is Jesus, not my title. And I make just as many mistakes as the rest of y'all. Maybe more. So yesterday, we're at my son's soccer game and over in Orangeburg. And it was in between quarters, and I had to go to the bathroom, and I started talking to somebody and realized time was slipping away, so I made a beeline for the building where the bathroom was, and I wasn't quite paying attention. And I saw the signs out of the corner of my eyes, and I thought I knew the door that I was supposed to go through. And I was in a hurry because I want to get back and I want to see my son's soccer game. And I plowed through that door, and it took about 3.7 milliseconds to realize, danger, 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 danger. You are not where you're supposed to be. Fortunately for me and anybody who may have been in there, there was nobody in there because I was in the wrong restroom. So I quickly did one of these, and I backed up, and I slid over, and I pushed through the right door. I wish that was the only time that that's ever happened to me. Sometimes we get in a hurry in this life, and we make decisions and we make choices that are incorrect because our focus is off. We've been on this series called Draw Me Close, getting our minds and our hearts in line with the same place that we understand that Daddy Father loves us. And sometimes when our focus and our vision is off, we own the wrong things, we accept the wrong things, we make bad choices, we go in the direction that we should not go, and we mentally and emotionally and physically are not in a place that's healthy to receive the truth that the God of the universe loves you. And so we started with this thing called identity, and we talked about what true identity looks like. There's identities that we have that are good. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I'm a pastor. Those are good, but they're not my core identity. My core identity is child of God. That's my core identity. And that core identity makes me a good father and a good husband. And when I get that screwed up, I become a bad father and a bad husband, and I don't act out the truth that is his love. And so we started off this series taking a shift, the focus of what true core identity looks like. And true core identity, how you were created. You were created to have an intimate relationship with an intimate God who wants intimacy with you. That's our core identity. And the rest of it needs to come out of that. And then last week, we talked about entering in, which is a hard concept to grasp. That previously, there was a way that we could earn into our relationship with God through sacrifices. And when Christ came, those sacrifices were no longer needed, and a door was opened for us to enter in for the comprehension and understanding that he is God and he loves you. I want to take it one step further this morning, and I want us to come to a place where that doesn't just become walking up and putting a piece of paper on a clip, or mentally taking a step towards him, but sitting and receiving what that truth is. So we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. Ephesians chapter 3 this morning, which is one of my favorites. I say that about all the scripture. And the truth is that all scriptures are my favorite. You will learn that. Oh. So Ephesians chapter 3 this morning is where we're going to be. And I want to read these truths to you. I want to read these truths to you. In verse 1, if you don't have a Bible, there's a pew Bible in front of you. It's page 1134. 1134. Or pull out your devices or whatever you need to get to Ephesians chapter 3. And this is what it says. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of the Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written to you briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which has now been made known to men in it was not made known to men in other generations and has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. And verse 6, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together as one body, shares together in the promise that is Christ Jesus. There's a lot of together going on there. Look around. I love that concept of the selfie. We're totally doing that next week. Look around you. I want you to see that this morning there is togetherness. Whether you know it or not, before the end, I'm hoping you receive this. This is the buildup and this mystery that has now been revealed to you, which is the truth that Christ died for you. We're a board game family. We love board games. And one of the board games that every now and then this board game comes out and we play it over and over and over and over and over again. It's an oldie but a goodie. It's called Clue. Oh, wow. Some nostalgic moments for you this morning. It's this game Clue, and I don't know why we like it, because the concept is murder. It's a little off. And what you do, the scenario is there are many rooms in this house, and there is a murder that has been committed. And before the beginning of the game, there is a person, a weapon, and a location, and you flip them over, and you take one of each of those, and you stick them in this little manila folder, and the rest of the game, you ask questions to try to figure out who committed the murder, in what room, with what device. And this is a game we play with our children. Because I think there's something about us as human beings that likes a little mystery. Right? We like a little mystery. We get all giddy when Christmas time comes around. What am I going to get? Woo! We like this mystery thing. And at the end, one person figures it out, and they say, I think it was this person. I think it was this weapon. I think it was in this room. Ta-da! Or you failed. And this is the truth this morning. The mystery has been revealed before you were even born. And I think sometimes those who call themselves Christ followers become bored with the mystery. It gets so redundant in our brains that we won't want to share that mystery, that hope, with other people that need it. And the truth is, the game of life is not a game. This is not a game. This is life. And there is a mystery that the God of the universe wants to reveal to you and to me that we need to pass on. And he keeps going. Listen to this. I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power, not mine. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden, in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. We'll come back to that. According to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which is your glory. First, the grace of God came through Christ in power. The truth that it is unsearchable. It is, you can search and search and search and search and do and do and do and do and do. It's already been given. There is no searching necessary anymore. It has been given. We have to receive. This needs to be shared with everyone. And then there's this crazy little piece in here. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. This is the truth. The angels and the fallen angels did not know the mystery until it was revealed. And now the angels in heaven are giddy and overjoyed at the mystery that has been revealed, that the God of the universe sent his son to die for you and for me. And they are overjoyed. And then there is a group of fallen angels who are not. And when that mystery was revealed, they became angry. And the truth is, when you receive Christ in your life, you are destroying them, and they don't like it. And in return, the angels get overjoyed and the demons get frustrated and the angels get overjoyed and the demons get frustrated and hope comes to the world. And maybe you haven't received that hope yet. Maybe this morning you heard the songs and you're like, I'm not comprehended. Or maybe when we were praying that prayer over me, I don't quite get it. Hold on. We're not done. For this reason, in verse 14, it says, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his rich, glorious riches, he may have strength, strengthening you with power in his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Pastor Jeff, I don't know what it means to be loved. I've never been loved before. I don't know what it means to receive love. I've never been loved before. I've never heard the words come out of the mouth of my father. I've never heard the words come out of the mouth of my mother. I've never received the embrace of my father and mother. I've never received the embrace authentically from any human being on this planet. And I want to say to you this morning, the one who created every human being who is not flawed wants to give you an embrace this morning and let you know that he loves you. And as Mercy said, there is no favoritism. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. He wants to destroy all the yuck inside of you and see you the way he wants to see you, which is as his child. And you may not feel it in your core this morning, but listen to these words and let them come from your brain down to your heart that he loves you. I just want to pause for a second, and maybe, just maybe, this happens a lot. As Christ followers go away from the mystery and stop focusing on the mystery and the true identity, we step out of his truth and we don't act like his followers anymore. And so if you've been hurt by someone who calls themselves a follower of the risen Lord, look at me. On behalf of all of them, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There are a lot of us who call in the name of Jesus Christ that don't act loving. And I want you to know, on behalf of the church who is called the bride of Christ, I'm sorry. And those that call yourselves follower of Christ, it does not have to be. When we understand and receive our true identity and understand and receive the truth that is his love for us and that we are his child, and we respond out of that response, the world receives hope, the mystery is revealed, and kingdoms against God's kingdom fall, and people receive the truth that they need to receive, and they become whole and healed and forgiven and relieved and are able to walk in step in freedom. But that does not happen if we do this backwards. It does not happen if we do this backwards. I like playing in dirt. I just do. I like, some of you understand. I know we're a weird group. I like to dig in dirt. I like to plant. I like to cold. I like to pull weeds. What is wrong with me? I like to pull this. So you don't like to pull weeds? Call me. I'll come pull your weeds. Like, I don't, there's something about it. When you rip out that thing that shouldn't be there and you replace it with something that should, what? And then you cover that thing with beautiful mulch. It gets all pretty and happy, happy. And unfortunately, in this environment that we live in, there are a lot of animals. I don't know what happened. I don't know what game farm decided to dump all their extras in Rockland County. It is crazy. It's like a game, it's like a wild game farm. I was coming out of my office one day and three bucks walked right past my car and up this road right here. I thought the apocalypse had come and the zombies had taken over. There's three buck walking right up the middle of the street. And they're fun to look at. They're great. And they come in our yard every single day, every day. Oh, look at the pretty deer. Until they touch my flowers. Then something takes over and I want to end their lives. Just full disclosure this morning. And I want to bring in some truth. There is a point to this. I love tulips. Tulips are, I mean, they're these gorgeous flowers that come up in the spring, and they're gorgeous. And they have all different colors. Some of you are saying, oh, yeah, tulips are really great, right? And they bloom about the same time as these shrubs, these bushes called azaleas. And azaleas are gorgeous. They're awesome. I just planted a couple more. You know the difference between tulips and azaleas? Tulips are a bulb, and if you yank on that bulb, it comes right out of the ground. So the deer come by and they're like, oh, pretty tulips. And they chop on that thing. And I planted them. They just start to bloom. And all of a sudden, half of them are ripped out of the ground. And then I have azaleas. And these bushes that flank our property. And these bright flowers. And the deer might get a couple of them. But you know the difference between a tulip and azalea? Their roots run deep. They run so deep that you can dig that thing out of the ground if you don't like it anymore, and you will find roots for the next 60 years. Before this service started this morning, I got on my knees in response to this scripture because my sole desire is not to tell you a good story like last week about mashed potatoes or this week about azaleas. My sole desire is for you to comprehend in your mind and your heart that Father God loves you. He is what's good and pure and great, and he wants to make you and transform you. He wants you not only to understand in your brain, but to allow his love to take root in your heart in a way that's so deep and so wide and so long and so high that you are transformed for all eternity. So this is what happens when we get this whole thing twisted, which happens all the time. It probably happened to me 60 times this week, full disclosure, where I didn't act out of my true identity. Just watch me at a Nyack College soccer game. When we get this thing twisted, when we get it wrong, we forget who we were. I'm a Christian, I'm good, I'm great, and we forget who we were before. And we get this thing twisted, and we wallow, and the false names and false identities rest on us, we forget who we are. This morning, I do not want you to walk out those doors without understanding who you are or who you could be. So the worship team's going to come back up and we're going to sing one more song. And this song this morning is the response. We've been working on this response thing. This song this morning is the response. And so as we sing these words this morning, I don't want you to just sing the words. I want you to receive these words as truth in your heart. If you have not received these words as truth in your heart, there will be prayer people up here during the song and after the song to pray and help you understand from here to here that the God of the universe loves you. But as we sing these words, let these words not only land in your brain, but would you receive them here 18 inches down? And this thing that pumps blood through your entire being so that his love can pump and beat through your entire being. Let's stand. Let's sing this last song.